The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
And we are back with another episode of the Kyle Anzalone Show. And I am very happy today to be welcoming Harrison Berger back to the show. He, of course, is with the American Conservative. Harrison, how are you doing today?
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Kyle. Thanks so much for having me back on the show.
Of course. So much has changed since the last time you were on. And I want to talk about really a lot of aspects of the conflict going on in Iran today. And starting off here, did Iran try to kill Donald Trump? Trump is weaker than Obama, Graham's rant, and the return of the draft. So, Harrison, it seems that the administration is just throwing anything they could find at the wall, trying to find something that's did so they have an excuse for the war with Iran. And I wonder if this latest one is maybe what they're going to go with. And that is this idea that Iran tried to kill Donald Trump. Over the weekend, I saw all these conservative influencers and Elon Musk, you know, basically tweeting out the line that the Ayatollah wanted to take out Donald Trump, but Donald Trump got him first. And of course, I was able to go over to the American Conservative, I think Sunday morning, and I found this article, the government's dubious case that Iran tried to kill Donald Trump. And in that article, you conclude, in other words, there's no evidence publicly available that Merchant formed any plot on his own or that the Iranian government ever sponsored it. So, Harrison, I'm just going to let you back up your conclusion there. The Iranian government had nothing to do with the assassination plot on Donald Trump?
No, they really didn't. It's really not anywhere in the indictment. There's no evidence connecting him to it. I should say what this case is about. It's about this guy, Asif Merchant, who was the defendant. He's now been convicted just 2 days ago for his alleged, or I guess now criminally proven role in the supposed plot, which, as I'll explain, the FBI fed to him. Merchant is from Pakistan. He's not from the United States. He was accused of attempting to hire two hitmen, who it turns out were actually undercover FBI agents in this so-called assassination plot to kill Trump. And as I explained in this article in the American Conservative, everything about this case is highly dubious. It's very reminiscent, actually, of other sort of plots that have been revealed, like the Whitmer kidnapping plot or the Newberg 4 case, if we can go back that far. Many of these other so-called terror plots that were ultimately revealed to just be manufactured and guided from the start by the U.S. deep state, mainly the FBI, who we now know just have a habit of creating their own plots, busting them, and then rewarding themselves for their efforts. And that's exactly what happened in this case with this guy Merchant, who it turns out was monitored by the FBI before he even entered the country on a terror watch list. And it appears as if the FBI was the one who approach Merchant with this supposed assassination plot. In fact, Merchant did not even have the $5,000 or whatever it was to pay for the hitmen to do this job. The hitmen who were undercover FBI agents. So he had the money sent to, the money was sent to him from Tanzania. Because he didn't even have the money to pay for assassination. So it just, it wasn't clear that he was looking to do this. It seems like the FBI just fed him this assassination plot. The question of Iran's involvement, now they never touched any part of it. I mean, the only governments that played a role here were the United States and the FBI agents who, it seems, brought him to the United States or allowed him to come in, monitored him, gave him the plot, and coordinated with him. I should say, too, that these FBI agents are the only people to touch the actual evidence, the supposedly damning evidence against him. They have invoked, or the DOJ has, they've invoked the state secrets privilege in this case, so they're completely suppressing the evidence against him. The state secret privilege obviously allows the government to withhold information from discovery when they deem that certain evidence could be harmful to U.S. national security. They have that discretion to do that. Judges have decided over time. And so we don't even know the evidence against this guy Merchant.
I would say that,
yeah.
Just to clarify here, because I just really want to hammer this point home. This man was Pakistani. Mm-hmm. Didn't have ties with the IRGC, the Quds Force, but he came from Pakistan, ends up in the United States of America, and the U.S., as you kind of say, the deep state does what they do, and Trevor Aronson has a great book, The Terror Factory, where he lays out dozens of these cases where they take somebody stupid who's fairly angry, they feed them information, they basically cook up the entire plot for them, and then they use that as propaganda to say, this is why we need more funding for the Department of Homeland Security. Look how great of a job we're doing catching terrorists. Okay, that made sense. But then they insert this whole Iran narrative when there's no actual ties to the Iranian government or anything at all that was Iran. Like, you know, in those plots, they always get the guy on camera or on tape saying, I love Osama bin Laden, I pledge allegiance to ISIS. But there's none of that in this case?
Yeah, there really isn't. There were separate plots that they tried to tie into this guy, Merchant's own plot, where Iran was referenced. But those allegations weren't credible. Like the witnesses that the DOJ had, they ultimately were not included in the court case. I mean, they weren't even there in the indictment. So it's just they're the only tie to Iran that's really been suggested is by like public officials who are trying to spread that as a way to justify war with Iran. There's a lot of bizarre aspects to the Merchant case that I think raise more questions than they do answers. Like the fact that, and the journalist Ken Silva has really covered this the best. He's been covering it for a while. I believe he has a book coming out on it. But Merchant was arrested, I believe, the day after the Trump assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania. And the timing was very bizarre because he was allowed to enter. They were tracking this plot. And then suddenly there's an actual assassination attempt against Trump in the middle of, I mean, what we now know is basically like this FBI entrapment scheme to get this guy Merchant involved in this plot, to hire these hitmen and to charge him for it. And so I think the timing of the Butler assassination occurring while the federal government is also trying to entrap someone like Merchant for an assassination attempt on the president raises a lot of questions about, you know, the still unsolved assassination attempt, the real one on Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, that we don't really have many answers to.
Yeah, and you know, that's another interesting aspect of this, Harrison, because if you look at the headlines in the mainstream media on this, they'll say, you know, Trump assassin tied to Iran brought up on charges. And I think people kind of assume they're either talking about the kid from Butler, or I think it's Matthew Krutz or Ryan Ruth, who was the guy on the golf course, I believe, in Florida. And this isn't actually tied to anybody who had a gun anywhere near Donald Trump, right?
Suffering from seasonal irritants? As the pollen count rises, support your immune system with Quiksilver Scientific Cysta-Aid, a targeted blend of nutrients and botanicals designed to help maintain healthy histamine balance and everyday comfort. Quiksilver Scientific Cysta-Aid works with your body's natural response to seasonal environmental challenges, so you can feel your best all season long. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
No, that Merchant did not have a gun near Donald Trump. He was accused of, and I should say, the only evidence that's been presented, again, because it's under the state secret privilege, the evidence is supposedly texts that were revealed through Israeli spyware that the Department of Justice used. And as Tucker Carlson added about that evidence on his show the other day, like, that sort of Israeli intelligence is very difficult to trust, and Americans have been misled by Israeli intelligence all the time to further Israel's own foreign policy goals. That's just been the case for the last 30 years of American history, and so we should all just be skeptical of any information we get from that foreign government. There's no evidence tying Iran to any of those plots, and there was no, it wasn't like a full-hearted attempt to assassinate the president either. As I mentioned, he didn't even have the money for it. He had to ask some guy in Tanzania for like credit, basically, to recruit the hitmen, to hire them and pay them. This really seems forced, I would say. Yeah. Very comparable to other FBI plots.
So I'm just curious, and this is, I guess, like a little bit of a chicken or the egg question, right? Which is, do you think that this was cooked up to get Donald Trump angry enough to attack Iran, that he feels like he now has some personal vendetta that he needs to score with the Ayatollah? And this is kind of, at least the you know, bringing the charges and things is aimed at shaping Donald Trump's foreign policy, or now that the U.S. is at war with Iran and, you know, they claim, oh, this is about the nuclear program, but since months ago we destroyed their nuclear program. This is about the missiles, but Iran doesn't have missiles that could hit the United States of America. Iran's in negotiations with the United States. So all the other excuses for war really don't make sense. And so now they're rolling this out as something to justify the conflict.
Yeah, I think that could be what it is. Obviously, as you mentioned in your intro, they don't have many good excuses for the war. The thing that is important to remember about this case is that it really began in the Biden administration, so it wasn't necessarily under the Trump administration. And the Biden administration wasn't actively seeking regime change in Iran to the degree that the Trump administration is. It's certainly the case that this story, this fake narrative about an Iranian assassination plot has been pushed very hard by the Israel lobby, Israel loyalists, and the Israeli government. And Trump, of course, seems to believe that they tried to assassinate him. And so the propaganda has worked. I don't know if that was the goal of the campaign from the outset. You know, Max Blumenthal also wrote about this over the weekend at the Gray Zone, and he made a good point that this is not the first accusation or of assassination attempts against the United States that have been launched or directed at the at Iran. We recently accused them, or previously accused them, of trying to assassinate Mike Pompeo and John Bolton. And in the case of John Bolton, in fact, the I believe the DOJ prosecutor or task force leader in charge of investigating that was the same person who was in charge of dealing with the Whitmer kidnapping, which was also, as we know, you know, we just talked about that. I don't remember the details too well, but I'd refer people to read Max Blumenthal's article from the weekend, where he basically makes this argument that exactly as you said, like, this was planted on behalf of Israel to justify a war.
Absolutely. Before we move on, I do want to just plug Ken Silva's work. He, of course, is my colleague over at the Libertarian Institute. And as you referenced there, he does have a book coming out on this soon. I don't know the exact release date, but they are in the final stages of putting that together. And of course, it would be absolutely invaluable at a time like this. So moving on, Harrison, I have this clip. This is Antony Blinken discussing the pressure that the Obama administration received from Benjamin Netanyahu to go to war with Iran.
Look, you know, this has been a long story when it comes to Iran. And back during the Obama administration, the Israelis were pushing President Obama to take military action against Iran, and were warning that they would do it themselves if he didn't. And he wouldn't, because he thought the better way to get at the nuclear program, which is what we were focused on, was through very muscular diplomacy backed up by very, very strong sanctions that we rallied the world to put in place. And then we got the Iran nuclear agreement.
So, Harris, I mean, it seems crazy to me that this seems to be a pretty good evidence that Donald Trump is a weaker president than Barack Obama was, that Obama was more able and willing to stand up to Benjamin Netanyahu than Trump is. What do you make of this?
Yeah, he's certainly more immune to pressure, or I would say foreign pressure. Although, that's totally true. I mean, even in the case of Obama, one of his last acts at the UN, I believe, was to declare that the settlements were illegal. Or he refused to veto a UN resolution doing that, which was a big move. They were very angry at him for doing that. But it's just the case that he did stand up to Israel, even though he supported their war against Gaza, their bombardment in 2014 and elsewhere, support this, his CIA supported the regime change effort in Syria on behalf of Israel and took out Israel's enemy in Libya too. He still did not go as far as Trump and you know, doing this crazy thing now of causing this regional war on behalf of Israel to against Iran. And you know, Trump fell for it. That's really as simple as it is. Yeah, he is weaker when it comes to Israeli pressure. That's just a fact.
So you think that it was the Israeli pressure that was the tipping point for Donald Trump? And look, I'm sure, you know, you agree with me to make this argument isn't taking agency away from Donald Trump, as they like to say. He is still responsible, but you think it was the pressure and the propaganda and the intelligence coming from Israel that ultimately drove Trump to launch this war against Iran?
Well, Marco Rubio said it. He said Israel was going to strike Iran and that we would get hit too. And so we decided to just join them and we'll do it with them. And it's just the case that we fund all of Israel's weapons anyway. So anything that Israel does is reflected back on us. We also provide them all their targeting intelligence too. So it's just, they're an extension of us and we're an extension of them. That's just the way it's been for 30 years. And you know, a country like Iran, I don't think sees the difference when they look at the United States and they look at Israel. I mean, who are they negotiating with? I mean, they were negotiating with Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, who are lifelong devoted Zionists. You know, Witkoff was going to the United Hatzalah conference boasting about, you know, how Hamas beheaded babies and mass rapes that didn't happen. You know, just spreading Israeli propaganda, talking about how he's not going to allow Iran to have any enrichment at all, even civilian. That was his line in the summer of last year, which he supposedly changed. But these people who we were told were practical and were going to get us out of this mess, I mean, they're, you know, just as Zionist as everyone else, as the Israeli side. And so if you're a country like Iran and you're negotiating with the United States, you're basically negotiating with Tel Aviv.
Yeah. Well, not only are they Zionists, they're also apparently incredibly stupid. A new article out, I think it's in MSNBC, where they talked to a whole bunch of sources who are saying that, you know, Witkoff and Kushner, when they were going into the talks with the Iranians, they didn't bring any nuclear experts with them. And so they were just kind of left on their own and of their understanding of like what nuclear enrichment is, how different kind of reactors work, what the purposes of different nuclear equipment is. And so I, you know, we got all these conflicting reports about, is the U.S. going to allow Iran to enrich uranium? To what level would they allow that to happen? It seems that maybe the conflicting reports came from Kushner and Witkoff really didn't understand Iran's nuclear program and capabilities. And so when they were offering things, they thought they were offering to allow Iran to enrich uranium when they weren't, by operating their medical isotope reactor or things like this. So it really is quite interesting. Now, one other thing I want to point out here is when the Israelis came to the United States and said, we're going to attack Iran, so attack with us, or, you know, you'll be hitting retaliatory attacks. I think if the U.S. went to the Iranians and said, we have no part in this war, it's between you and Israel, I do wonder. I don't think Israel would have even attacked Iran unilaterally, actually, especially if the U.S. said we weren't going to provide air defenses for the Iranians. But, you know, maybe we could just stayed on the sideline of this thing if we tried to, but the Trump administration didn't seem to make any effort at that.
No, they made no effort at all. And, you know, if you look at someone like Witkoff and what you're mentioning with not bringing the notes or nuclear experts, you know, it's unclear how serious they even took it the entire time, those negotiations. I mean, the other day, Witkoff was standing next to Trump as he was talking on Air Force One. And Trump, as he always does, was insisting that the Iranians refuse to come to the table, those hardliners. They refuse to abandon their nuclear weapons program, which, by the way, doesn't exist. They don't have one. U.S. intelligence has insisted that since 2007. Tulsi Gabbard reiterated it in February of last year. But it's just a lie. And Steve Witkoff is nodding along. Yes, the Iranians, they're so irrational. They can't be negotiated with. It was the United States that pretty much every week since the start of this year was changing the terms of our negotiations with Iran, saying, oh, you have to abandon your ballistic missiles, the only defense that you have against the Israeli bombardments that just randomly happen now because Israel's an aggressive terrorist state that just launches wars against its neighbors in every country in the region. So Iran won't be able to defend themselves. They have to give up their ballistic missiles, we're telling them. It's like, it's hard to take any of that seriously. They're not serious people.
No, they're definitely not. But they do have a lot of power and they sit on a massive nuclear arsenal. Now, Chris, I want to move on to SOT number two. This is Lindsey Graham discussing the war in Iran.
This regime goes down, we're going to have a new Mideast. We're going to make a ton of money. Nobody will threaten the Straits of Hormuz, and we're going to win. All Israel right, and the United States, you just wait to see what comes in the next 2 weeks.
The next 2 weeks meaning what?
We're going to blow the hell out of these people. This regime is in a death throe now. It is going to be on its knees. It's going, if we get in a fight, I want to win it. I want to win it quick. I'm in Miami. You see this hat? Free Cuba. Stay tuned. Yep. The liberation of Cuba is upon us. It's just a matter of time now. You see this hat? Make Iran great. President Trump said the only way to make Iran great is for the people to take over. We're marching through the world. We're cleaning out the bad guys. We're going to have relationships with new.
So, Harrison, I want to know what you make of that. And look, I know this is Lindsey Graham and that he's an idiot. And whenever he's this happy, it's bad for humanity. But he seems to have an awful lot of influence on what's going on in the decision making in the White House. So what do you make when you see a sitting U.S. senator talk about war like that?
I mean, he's probably right, because Lindsey Graham has gotten everything he's wanted in this second Trump administration. He got and Marco Rubio, to all the neocons, really. They got the regime change war, or semi-regime change war that took out Maduro in Venezuela. They got their war with Iran now. Two wars with Iran. Actually, the first one was a small one, and now this one is the biggest one yet. The most dangerous war we've had in a long time, it seems, with a real prospect for escalation. And that's what Lindsey Graham lives for. He lives for sending other people's children to war, while he gets to sit in his very comfy house in D.C. or wherever he lives without any kids, because he doesn't have kids. So he doesn't have to send them to a draft or anything like that. He doesn't have to worry. But everyone else and their families do. And so, yeah, it's very distressing, the fact that he's setting his sights now on Cuba, which the neocons and the CIA and deep state have just been obsessed with for 60 years. Because they took all of their dirty casino money and they kicked all of the U.S. companies out of Cuba. I mean, Cuba was basically like a semi-slave state when it was run by Batista. I mean, I don't really care about Cuban politics that much. I don't care who governs that country. But our country now is, and our government is, obsessed with who governs foreign governments and other countries, and how the populations in other countries are living. There's not really a lot of concern for how Americans are doing. Gas prices are going up every day because of this war in Iran. The affordability crisis is getting worse every week. And we're spending billions of dollars to fight wars of choice on behalf of Israel, not just to defend Israel, but to fight their wars of choice too. So Lindsey Graham is winning. It's his world, and we're just living in it.
Wow, that is some really bad news, Harrison. And I actually got one more bad piece of bad news before we get out of here today. This is the White House press secretary discussing the potential for a draft.
Commander-in-Chief wants to continue to assess the success of this military operation. It's not part of the current plan right now, but the president, again, wisely keeps his options on the table.
So, Harrison, are you concerned? I mean, you know, you're definitely a young man. Any concern that the White House institutes a draft and you are, you know, your friends and everybody are getting sent off to the Middle East to fight a war for Israel in Iran? I wonder if they'll draft you straight into the IDF or if they'll, you know, just put you through basic in the U.S. first.
Yeah, well, that's the question that we're all asking each other. And it is a concern that not just like my friends and I have, but all over social media, you know, there's even memes that people my age are creating, because if we can all remember, Gen Z hates Israel. They hate the genocide that they committed. They hate the way that they infringe on our free speech in the United States, the censorship regime that they've constructed to stamp out criticism of their foreign government because they depend on our taxpayer dollars and U.S. public opinion for their own survival. And so people my age are sick of that. And they're making memes about how they're going to go, if they get drafted in the war, the first thing they're doing is, you know, fragging all the Israeli soldiers who they're fighting side by side with. And I should say, by the way, the Israeli soldiers are not fighting Iran in this war. The Israeli soldiers have a ground invasion of Lebanon, because that's what they do. They occupy and take territory from their neighbors, like Lebanon, and they've been doing that for decades. But they're not actually fighting and sending troops to Israel. And they're counting on the United States to do that. They're counting on Americans to die on behalf of their own country and their own borders. And they say so in the Israeli press. They've said so openly. And the prospect of sending troops into that war, where thousands would certainly die if they went, if not more, the Israelis are not just excited about, but the administration is more and more open to. And so that should just worry everybody.
Yeah, no, I'm very concerned about where the country is headed. And it seems every single week I get more and more concerned now. And this is a very dangerous path that we're on. And as you said, Lindsey Graham seems to have a lot of control over the foreign policy. So even if by some miracle we manage to avert a complete and utter catastrophic disaster, the worst case scenario in the Middle East, it's not like they're done. It's not like after that, hopefully we'll see less intervention. It seems like they're just, you know, trying to churn through one country after the next. Harrison Berger, thank you so much for coming back on the show today. You have been doing really great work over at the American Conservative. Everybody, make sure to check out Harrison. I think your Berger Post over on Etsy, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so follow Berger Post on Etsy for all of his work, and be sure to share and subscribe to this show. Put this episode out there so more people see it, and we'll be back with more episodes later in the week. I got Matthew Ho coming up on Wednesday, and the great Daryl Cooper returns to the show on Thursday.
All right, great. Thank you. That's all right.
I don't even know what I'm doing until I'm doing it.